The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by the resplendent Stephen Nicol. We also welcome to
good
the
thing?
Program. Take it as you wish. Don Hutchison is with us, as is Jana Aga Fjortoff. And one of the big storylines from the weekend was Manchester United being eliminated from yet another cup competition under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And inevitably, those comments that he made in the lead up to the Milan game have once again been scrutinised. Just a reminder what he had to say. In the league position, you see if you're progressing, really, and sometimes in the cup tournaments, you might be lucky or unlucky with draws, games decided on different factors. Of course, we're aiming to win trophies, but as we've said, sometimes a trophy can hide what's happening at the club. But sometimes it's more of an ego thing from other managers and clubs to finally win something. We go back to 2018, just talking about what happens on the pitch and off it at Manchester United. Ed Woodward said, playing performance doesn't really have a meaningful impact on what we can do on the commercial side of the business. Mark Ogden, scathing today in his article on ESPN FC. If both the manager and executive vice chairman suggest that the basic premise of winning trophies isn't the primary yardstick of success at Old Trafford, it should be no surprise if the message seeps through to the players and they go on to fall short in the quarters and semis as they have made a habit of doing under Solskjaer. Jan, I feel drawn to you first to defend your boy.
Well, I don't think I have to defend him. I think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer knows from his time as a player there that the only thing that counts at Manchester United is to win trophies. But I don't think these kind of statements make him any favours. And there was another statement as well saying that when they presented that sponsorship, the new deal by the German company, they said he had phenomenal success at the club, which he hasn't. Mm. He has taken him to another level. He had 21 games now, 2 losses. 2 weeks ago, they beat Manchester City away. It is one of the favourites to the Champions League. But having said that, that game against Leicester, that was so sad to watch. It was 3 goals that they gave away. I mean, you couldn't see how they wanted to play the game. The first goal, they wanted to play out from the back. That is Manchester City doing that. Manchester United can't do that. Maguire giving the ball to Fred, who had a terrible game, losing the ball so many times before he lost it on the first goal. And I think that those kind of statements, Manchester United should be happy that there are no fans at the stadium, because Manchester United, in my time, in Don's time, it was all about winning trophies.
Yep.
And it should be now at this moment as well.
And this is your big, big problem, isn't it, Don? If you're Solskjaer and you come out with these sort of comments, you are Manchester United's manager. And like it or not, that bar has been set extremely high over the years. And no matter how much you talk about improvement and league places and players, what you will be judged by is trophies. And at the moment, he hasn't got any.
As it should be for any football club. But if you're a manager of Man United, one of the very biggest clubs in the world, you have to pride yourself on winning trophies or getting really close to them. And the statement was a bizarre one, in my opinion. I don't know why he felt as though he had to say trophies are for egos. I've got no idea what that even meant. And then what I've seen over the last 6 months or a little bit longer is he tries to be a little bit clever, Ollie. He rested loads of players against Sheffield United in the Premier League. They lost that game. He rested loads of players against Besiktas in the Champions League. Lost that game. Done exactly the same, you know, against Leicester at the weekend. I don't know why he felt as though he had to rest a number of players with a little bit of a break coming up. In the end, he had to bring 4 big hitters off the bench and Ahmad just at the end try and rescue the game. But he's setting himself up for failure. If you come out with those sort of statements, the lads know, you know, you give players an inch, they'll take a yard. And Man U are very, very inconsistent at the moment.
I said, but on that point, Stevie, players want to win trophies. They want to go out there and do their best. So it doesn't matter, does it, if Solskjaer's coming out and saying this sort of stuff about trophies? As a player, you're motivated enough. You don't need... It doesn't matter what your coach says.
Well, Dan, that's why certain clubs have a culture.
Everybody will say, I want to win. Others, though, will do whatever it takes to win. And number one will not find or look for any sort of excuse. That's what Ollie does. That's what this Man United team does. And so when your culture is getting patted on the back for doing really well, that doesn't win you the big prizes. Mm. You need not just a winning, a hope to win. You need a mentality that makes sure you win. And it's not about every now and again. It's about every single day in training. It's not just about the games. This is one thing people don't understand. You don't become the Manchester United under Fergie if all you're doing is turning up on a Saturday to play. It's what you do during the week. And so everything that Ollie's doing and everything that Ollie's saying is sort of softening them up a little bit. That little edge that you need to win things isn't there. And that's because of Ollie.
Is that true? Are they missing that 1%, Jan, which is so crucial?
I think they're missing more than 1% at the moment. I think some are not defending Oliver by... I agree with Don. I'm not sure what our last sentence meant anyway, but the egos, maybe there was a little kick to Mourinho, who was there before him, being more the selfish manager, and maybe Oliver more the manager, the company guy that looks after their improvement. Yes, they have improved lately, but it's all about titles. And I've said it all along, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will never, I can't see in the near future, will be fired by the board or the people in and around the club. But he will be kind of fired because of the consequences of the fans or the journalists and everybody have a go at him because of that. But I think that mean that, honestly, that the club at the moment, if they see improvement, that is success for them. And remember back in the days when Arsene Wenger said that it's a trophy to be top four. Remember, he was slaughtered for that. Mm. That was Arsenal. And this is Manchester United being used for Sir Alex Ferguson, saying that if they were second in the league, that was a failure.
The issue with that is that where Arsenal have gone with that mentality, Jan.
Yeah, exactly. And Steve got a very good point in terms of culture. I mean, it takes so much time. It takes a lot of persons. It takes a lot of determination to build up a culture. But it doesn't take that long to ruin that kind of culture. And Manchester United should be aware of that. Because if you get a habit that you're just happy to be top four, or you say that this and that is improvement. But believe me, I talked with Solskjaer. I had an interview with him on Friday. I talked to him afterwards. This is a man who is desperate to win titles. Let's not misunderstand that. But that's why I mean that those kind of statements, not only from Ole Gunnar himself, but from all the people around him that seems to be more happy that they are trending on TikTok than winning football games.
Let's just remind you of the record, the cup record under Solskjaer. And there's a lot of familiarity to it. Like, you get to the quarters, you get to the semis, in all these different competitions, and yet you get eliminated, Don. Obviously, you take a look at some of the quality of their opponents. They are stronger than Manchester United. But on other occasions, you'd expect United to go through. And this is obviously a theme that they're going to want to change very quickly. But it's difficult to change when you've got your manager coming out and saying these sort of things.
Yeah, everything's a culture and everything's a habit. And the boys are right. When you're winning, winning's a habit. When you're losing, that can become a habit as well. And Stevie hit the nail on the head, really, when he's talking about, you know, players and teams and managers that'll do anything to win a game. Sergio Ramos is probably not really loved in the football world. I don't know why, because I love him. But I understand why fans have this little gripe against him. And maybe it's just Liverpool fans for what he's done to Mo Salah. But you talk about a player that will do anything to win a title and win a trophy and win the very big ones consistently. That's the kind of players you need in your team. I don't think Ollie's got enough of them just yet. I think he's doing a decent job. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's all bad for Man United. It is when you look at that record, of course. He needs to go over the line and win some trophies. Titles are going to be difficult. When he's coming up against Jurgen Klopp and Guardiola and the you know, the quality that they've got in terms of their knowledge and what they've got in the bank and the playing style that they try and play, United are way behind those two. But they can certainly compete in Europe. They have to win the Europa League this season. They have to come away with a trophy, otherwise it's a failure.
You know the best managers? None of them were ever looked upon as Mr. Nice Guy. Every single one of them would cut your throat, shove you off the bus, do anything at all to make sure that the team won. And if you weren't going to be part of that, he would get you out the door as soon as look at you. You don't get that impression with Ollie. I don't get the impression that players are walking around the dressing room when he comes in and perking their ears up, saying, hold on a minute, the boss is here.
Right.
It seems a little... Everything seems a little too soft. And when things get hard, that softness comes through. And that seems to be what happens. You just showed a graph there of them losing.
Yeah, and that takes us back then to the PE teacher label.
Well, I don't take your statement and take it from there, because I have to defend him a bit, because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is now second in the league. There are a lot of managers on that league table who will be desperate to have that position now coming into the end of the season. They had a very good
run. Is that Ollie I can hear talking there? You sound like Ollie.
But that's
the thing, though, Jan. He's turning being second into... Give me a pat on the back. This team's doing fantastic. This team is second. How great are we? But it's okay to get knocked out of the cups.
So the fantastic Arteta will take Arsenal for 10th to 9th. The fantastic Mourinho will take Tottenham into being in the Champions League and be happy to be in Europe and so on and so on. We can go on for that. I don't have this PE teacher kind of stuff. I think that is ridiculous because... You have to have a way of doing it. You have to have a way of doing it in the media. Well, have a look at that Premier League table and take all the managers just doing cliches for the Premier League for TV. And pundits like ourselves would say, oh, yeah, he's a good guy because he throw them under the bus. Oh, he's a tough manager. But he doesn't win football games. So I don't have that. I think that is too easy to have that discussion on that terms of the PE teacher thing.
If you think of someone like Carlo Ancelotti, you can't imagine him being the sort of person that, as you say, was going to shout at people or make them... You always think them as a good man manager. Zinedine Zidane as well, who's had so much success at Real Madrid. So is it just that things have evolved, they've moved on, that you don't necessarily need to have that sort of attitude all the time to get success?
I think there has to be some sort of attitude like that. You know, would Ollie... Do you think Ollie would put somebody on and then 10 minutes later take him off? I don't think he would. You know, the manager who's doing things, not for the names on the back of the jersey, but for the club and the fans, will do anything and make any decision, not because it's going to upset the player, but because it's the right thing to do. I don't think Ollie would do that. If he sat there and put a player on and 10 minutes later thought, you know what, this might cost us a goal... I don't think he would take KMD off. I don't think he'd do it.
So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will win the Europa League. He will be second in the Premier League and he knocked out in the FA Cup in the quarterfinal. Then we will see it's an OK season for them. We can discuss this from all the way from A to Z that Ole Gunnar knows that it's all about winning titles for Manchester United or he will be fired. Mind you, he'll be fired. A football coach and a politician, they will always be fired at the end. We don't have to be afraid of that. But the thing, I'm not having this kind of thing that you have to shout at them. And Dan made a very good point. Zinedine Zidane won the Champions League 3 times. And I tried to interview him. Dan, you've probably done that the same. It's not possible. He doesn't speak to you. It's not like he comes into the dressing room throwing around bottles and glasses. And Jurgen Klopp, should we have a go at him because he's hugging the players? So when they're losing and they can't win at Anfield, is that because he can't hug them anymore? I think that is too easy discussion. Let's discuss the fact and let's see and at the end of the season and who has got success. And in the bottom of the table, we have Big Sam. So Big Sam is a great manager then because he shouts a lot. No, I'm not having that one.
Yeah, let me put it a different way then. And tell me if you agree with this. He's bringing this sort of rhetoric on himself, in my opinion, because he's actually opening up and asking to be patted on the back. And he wants his team to be patted on the back for progressing. But it's Manchester United. Would he not be better saying, you know what, I do think we're taking small steps forward, but you know what, at the end of the day, Manchester United needs to be first, not second. We need to be winning trophies. If he came out with that rhetoric, then we wouldn't be sitting talking about is he too soft or is part of the reason is because the culture is soft. If we knew that he was all he's interested in is number one. Because every time you say, we're progressing, it's okay to be second, we're getting there. Then the players swallow that. They soak it in. They seep it into their body and their mind. Get on the front foot. It's not good enough for Manchester United. And then the rhetoric around you might change.
And Stephen, that's why I said at the beginning of this segment, and I said that he's doing him no favour to do statements like this, because Manchester United is all about winning the games. But then we just also have to have a look at the culture at Manchester United, because we were there, we saw them. I was there. I was doing the last game of Mourinho in Sevilla in the Champions League, and Manchester United was gone. They were gone. And then they had, at that time, one of the best in the business to win titles for them. And Manchester United was down. And now they bring in Solskjaer. And if his mandate at the club is that to progress, get them into Champions League, steady the ship and get youth, young players through, like he's saying, then there's something else. Then we have to go at the whole culture at the club. I think it's so easy just to go on Solskjaer if he gets a mandate at Manchester United and he's doing what he's doing. And I repeat myself, I don't think those kind of statements makes him any favours. But we don't know what he's telling the players in the dressing room, what it's all about to win at Manchester United. We have to put that in as well.
Don, how much of is it a personnel? You mentioned Sergio Ramos, and you look at Real Madrid, who are quite a good example of a massive club who haven't been exactly fulfilling what their fans want them of late. Yet when it comes to big matches, when it comes to the Champions League, they were far from the best team in Europe, I think it's fair to say, when they won those Champions League, but they would get it done again, again, and again. And we've seen it this season. Casemiro, Modric, Cruz, all stepping up. All players with massive experience who haven't been very good this season. When it comes to big matches, though, they know exactly how to get it done. United don't have those big game players, do they?
No, I totally agree with that. Not yet. But I think the reason why Ollie's not coming out and saying we need to be number one, we need to be number one, we need to be number one, is because they can't get to number one. Man City are a million miles ahead of where Man United are. So it's almost a case if Ollie comes out and says, you know, second place is not progression, we should be winning titles, he's almost setting himself up for failure. So the journalists then would probably have a field day on calling Ollie out by wanting to be number one and wanting to win titles. I get it, by the way. That's the rhetoric, and that's what I'd be saying to my players. Second's no good. Second's for losers. We need to be ahead of Man City. But as it stands, they're nowhere near that. And then the Real Madrid comparison is the perfect one. You know, those players, those experienced players with loads of bottle and quality get the job done. There's too many times I watch Man United and they can be brilliant. They can beat Man City and you think, right, they've cracked it. This is Man United. And then there's a lot of players, and I don't want to go on about Martial because I keep saying Danny's one of these players where you can't rely on him. He's not just the only one. I'm not just digging Anthony Martial out. I'm really, really not. But there's too many players in that comfort zone where if it doesn't go well, nah, it's all right. There's another game next week. You can't do that when you're at the very biggest of clubs.
You might think,
but boys, if we have a look at, if we're going to do a serious analysis of what's wrong with Manchester United without going on persons, but still do it. If you get David James from Swansea and you don't go for Sancho at Dortmund, I mean, can you then expect to win titles? And that is nothing to do with David James. He's a talented player who can progress and so on and so on. They had a chance to get Sancho last summer. They didn't go for it. So there is a lot of things going on at Manchester United, a lot of problems, and the only problem, and we tend to do the analyse, the only problem is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Now I don't have that. It's too easy analysis.
I think he's been a little harsh on David James.
Poor David James.
He could catch it.
Daniel James, of course. You might think Don is looking a bit tired today. Well, you would be tired if you had to spend the day with Gab and Jules. He was their special guest on the podcast. You can download that now over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. It was a dramatic weekend in the Bundesliga, wasn't it? Bayern Munich, despite the fact they were down to 10 men for much of the game, winning by 4-0, meaning they still remain 4 points clear of Leipzig in second. We start, though, as we welcome in Steve Cherundolo, Casey Keller, and Jan is still with us as well. Jan, of course, the reason we've still got you with us is to talk about your boy, Erling Haaland, grabbing the headlines for the wrong reasons after Borussia Dortmund's draw. His actions in which he threw the shirt and then what he said afterwards. Just take us through exactly what happened and what the reaction has been.
Yeah, well, let's start with the right things, that he scored 2 goals.
Yes, we know he scored.
Just for the record. Just for the record. No, I agree with the Cologne player that he will swap shirts, but he was a bit mad after the game because they lost 2 points. He was very frustrated in the way Dortmund played. They missed the opportunity to get closer to top four. And yes, there were some words that I can't say here on this channel, of course, and that they made headlines all over Germany. So it was a frustrating day for Dortmund. Frankfurt winning against Union Berlin, and that makes them behind at their minimum target for Dortmund is to be top four and be in the Champions League for next season.
And it's something we discussed time and time again, Jan, but it is becoming more and more prevalent, the fact that if they don't make it to the Champions League, what does that mean for Erling Haaland?
Well, Erling Braut Haaland got a middle name. I love Champions League. He says that all the time. And I think that Dortmund and Michael Sork, I mean, I think they understand if they're not top four, things will start moving. I mean, they got a plan to use the money from Sancho. They kind of think that he will be gone. But Erling Braut Haaland, I mean, the best players in the world got to play in the Champions League. So they know that things will be starting. But they have another chance now. They get an extra chance when they come back for the international break. They are playing Frankfurt at home and they need to win that game. If not, I think that's going to be tight to keep Erling Haaland for next season.
Tight or impossible, Steve?
Well, I think it's a decision that the club has to make. At the end, it's a business decision. I think you have Jadon Sancho, who's on his way out. You have Erling Haaland, who will definitely have buyers out there, interest from most of the top clubs in Europe. So I think for them, they have a choice. Who do we get top dollar for or top euro for? And then it just becomes a bidding war. So I think they don't have to get rid of him. But if you do keep him, you're going to have to deal with maybe a frustrated and difficult player to manage within the locker room and in the training field if you do decide to hold on to him if the offers are not what you expected.
If you're Erling Haaland and already you're setting your sights on competing with the likes of Kylian Mbappe, Casey, you have to be playing Champions League, don't you? There's no doubt about it. So if Borussia Dortmund don't qualify, you've got to go in there and say, I want out.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, you would think that he would, I think, do it the right way. I mean, I know he's got a buyout clause, but the buyout clause supposedly doesn't come into effect for another year or two. So it would be a case of him and his representation having to come out and just say, you know, I need to be somewhere. But I think on the other side of that is, you know, Dortmund is used to having 80,000 people in the stadium and the financial ramifications that come with them not having a full stadium week in and week out. Then the financial consideration if they don't qualify for Champions League. So, yeah, I mean, Stevie made the point that, yes, you know, Sancho, but then also they're going to have to balance the books as well. And I'm sure Haaland will be a big, big part of that, particularly if they don't qualify for Champions League.
Yeah, and I'm painting this as a pretty simple picture, that if they don't qualify for the Champions League, Haaland knocks on the door and says, I'd like to leave, please. And they'll say, certainly, we'll get a nice big price and off you go. Obviously, it won't be that simple.
It won't be that simple, because if you follow the career of Erling Haaland, he hasn't done that before. When he had a chance to go to Juventus, he went to Salzburg. But he could go to Manchester United with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his former coach, being the manager. They turned him down and went to Dortmund. I think the case, it makes a point of the crowd there. But it's also a positive thing that he wants to play a whole season with 81,000 people. The boy is still 20. So I think that, well, everybody think that he will leave this summer, but I don't think it's automatically that will happen. If Dortmund sells Sancho, and as you rightly say, the clause is next summer, and it's much higher than people think, and if that's next summer, Dortmund want to keep him desperately, because if they say, we let Erling Haaland go, then they just say, we don't want to be a challenger to Bayern Munich. We'll just be a normal club that just makes some good talents then and again and then sell them. I don't think that Erling Haaland, you will never see him in a position like Aubameyang or Dembele, who kind of strike their way out of Dortmund. I think this will all be sensible and will be doing it in the right way. But I'm sure that Sork and the rest of the management of Dortmund are praying to be top four, so they don't come in that position at all this summer.
Top four, of course. We started the season talking about them as title challengers. They are way off that pace. Bayern Munich, of course, top the front page of Kicker. A message to Leipzig and the league. Three Lewandowski goals, playing a man down. Steve, have you ever seen anything like that? A team's performance in that first half after Davies gets sent off to score four goals so ruthlessly. I can't recall anything quite like that.
Yes, I have, unfortunately, and I've been on the wrong end of it. But it is truly incredible what they're doing, the amount of chances they create with ease, and their ability 1v1, their ability to combine. It's just really the whole package right now that we're seeing. And you top it all off, you have a Lewandowski who they just can't miss. I mean, he is now the perfect combination of somebody who is physically at the top of his game, he's at his peak, but he's also, his soccer IQ or football IQ is off the charts. And you couple that with some fantastic players around him, and this is what you see. You just see a scoring machine right now, and a bunch of players who understand each other well and are having fun.
Casey, that first half performance was a bit special, even by Bayern standards.
It was truly ridiculous. The fact that, you can only see that Pellegrino Matarazzo must have thought, okay, we've got a man advantage now. We couldn't get a better opportunity to get a point on the road. And then in about a 10-15 minute spell, he's looking at his assistant coach going, are we really 4-0 down and we have a man advantage? It truly was a remarkable display from a remarkable side in Bayern Munich. And they only get stronger as the season progresses. And look, it's so fun going into this next matchup against Leipzig to see just, how this season shakes up.
Steve, just going back to what you said at the start, you were up a man and you lost 4-0.
Yeah, let's not dwell on this point, but I believe so. And I believe it was in the second division. I've disregarded exactly who it was. I've tried to delete that out of my brain. So you can look at the stats and fill in the fill everybody else later.
Speaking of stats, of course, the big story is Lewandowski trying to take Gerd Müller's record away from him. Just a reminder, 40 goals is the target that Lewandowski is looking for. And he looks pretty much on track, doesn't he, as it stands, to get it, Jan. Just talk us through once again just how big a deal this is and whether or not you think he will actually do it.
Well, we have to go back to the 70-71 season. And Gerd Müller, we can discuss football history, best number nine. But I think we'll all agree, if we know our football history, that the best goal getters of them all, that was Gerd Müller. And even to be compared with him is like unbelievable. And as you said, Robert Lewandowski at the moment, 35, is eight goals, games to go. And he will definitely beat that record. I feel he will. And Steve got a good point in saying that Robert Lewandowski, then he can compare himself with Gerd Müller. On the other hand, he can also compare himself with, for me, the best number nine ever was Marco van Basten. And he's one of that kind of player as well. And we had a game on Saturday, and after the game, they asked Robert Lewandowski, do you think of this record? No, I don't think it at all. Of course he does, 24-7. That's all on his mind at the moment, is to take that record. And that is one unbelievable record for the history books, if Robert Lewandowski does that. As you said, a great striker, but also great players in and around him who are playing him good, great crosses, but the body language, the way he kind of train and prepare for games is second to none. So deservedly for a great, great sportsman.
Casey, away from Bayern Munich, of course, we woke up on Monday to the news that Xabi Alonso is the new coach of Borussia Mönchengladbach. Not many people saw this coming.
No, I mean, it's a big jump to go from the Sociedad B side, to a big Bundesliga club. And so, but look, I have a ton of respect for Xabi Alonso, not only as a player, but I think he's just a really good guy as well. And I wish him, obviously, a ton of success. And not only being an ex-Gladbach player, but if he had been, coaching Cologne, I might even wish him success.
Jan, I know this is a move you're excited about.
Well, I'm excited about it, but I just have to, just before everything is published, at the moment in Germany now, I just went on before I was here, and it's a big thing that Kicker says is not 100%, and Sportbild saying it's 95%. Right. So let's see what's happening. But Max Eberl, who is the head of sport at the Gladbach, one of the best in the business, got his connection to Bayern, of course, where he was a player, and it's just the 4 months ago or something, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge said that he thinks that Xabi Alonso will be one of the best coaches around. And it's a great place for him to start at Gladbach, if that will happen, though. And then they say he's just warming up then to take over Bayern in a couple of 3 years. So let's see that story, how it's continued.
Just switching gears, Steve, as we're on, I've got to get your reaction to Sergiño Dest scoring 2 goals for Barcelona at the weekend.
Great step for him, a great step for, you know, Americans playing in Europe to score goals for one of the best sides in the world. So, and it's also a great feeling for him going into international break with a few goals. He's getting better week in and week out. Every single game, he's continuing to progress and develop, finding good spots, not only setting up goals, but doing his job defensively and here being prolific and being effective in the offensive end. That's what he's there for. And we're seeing a player who was already confident going in, but then adding some tools to go along with that. So sky's the limits for him, and I'm very excited about this future.
A nice response as well. It's obviously been a bit of a roller coaster start to his Barcelona career. The low being against PSG, the high, you would say, probably at the weekend, Casey.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was under a little bit of criticism. I mean, I know that maybe the fans weren't overly critical, but I know there were some strong words from his manager at one stage. But that's all about being a young player. And it's not going to just go your way. You're going to have to fight through some adversity. And I think he's done that tremendously well. And if you can do it on the stage of a Barcelona, it's only going to be better and better. So he's a young player. He's got a great future. And I'd love to see a long future at Barcelona. And obviously scoring a couple goals in a big win never hurts.
Casey, normally when we're on, we go, ha-ha, look, here's some stupid goalkeepers making mistakes. What do you say about this? But let's turn the tables today and talk about goalkeepers scoring beautiful goals. Although this one, you could say maybe the goalkeeper's at fault, Casey, but this bounce is quite something.
There's always a combination, right? I mean, if a goalkeeper scores a good goal, if he hasn't come up on a corner, there's got to be a fault somewhere. And yes, probably didn't read this bounce very well, or maybe he just wanted his fellow goalkeeper to be able to celebrate like this.
So that was in Portugal. Then what about this one? The goalkeeper's up for the corner. Hits it well, Casey. It's in Greece.
Well, I mean, this you see every once in a while.
Yes.
But you got to be in the right place, and just smashes it. And look at the celebration.
And then Villarreal against Sevilla. Bono. The ball is pinging around everywhere, and then it just falls to his feet. Bang.
And again, run away, celebrate like you've never scored a goal before, because you never have.
Yep.
So you might as well take advantage yep. and have some fun with it.
Very much so. And what a time to do it as well. Shirts off, everyone's happy, you're the hero. Hey, fantastic. Casey, did you ever score or get close to scoring?
Not since high school. I used to come up when we'd be beating teams and hit free kicks. But actually, in my very first cap, we went to penalties in a tournament against Colombia, and I smashed my penalty against the crossbar on the 10th shooter, and we lost in penalties.
Oh, man.
I know. Well, my only chance.
At least you didn't lose 4-0 when you were one man up like someone else on the panel. thank you very much, gentlemen. Just a reminder, a lot more reaction to Serginho Dest's performance at the weekend on the latest edition of Football Americas, which is available to watch now here on Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, just a reminder, the U.S. taking on Jamaica, that game on Thursday, the men in action at 1:30 Eastern on ESPN2. And then on Wednesday, it's all about European World Cup qualifiers. These campaigns start, lots of games. We've just picked out a few for you, the likes of Turkey against Netherlands, Belgium, Wales, France, Ukraine. I want to put Gibraltar, Norway in there. Anyway, those games available on ESPN+. Erling Haaland, I suppose.
There you go.
That's it. Jan will be
answered your own question.
Jan, manager of Norway, we learned once. Jan Oggefjordtoft.
Yep.
We learned that, of course, in extra time, which is next. Jan, Don and Stevie answering your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your tweets. Stevie with me in the studio. And look at this, Don and Jan join us as well. But the first question is for you, Stephen. Do you think Liverpool and Barcelona will become significantly better with full-packed stadiums, as those two particular big teams losing at home before was just unheard of?
100%. No question. Yeah, the biggest teams, in my opinion, are the teams that are getting hot most by having no crowds. You know, the intimidation and the scare factor of players going to Anfield, in particular, has just disappeared.
Don, you've still been going to games, obviously, doing your commentary thing. How is it?
I mean, it's not great, but we've got used to it. We've been going for quite a while now, so you sort of get used to the environment that you're in, and we're lucky enough that we're going to have the effects of sort of fake noise in our ears, so we sort of whack that up as much as we can to try and create an atmosphere, so it sort of nullifies what it's really like for the players. But I think that tweet's absolutely spot on. You'll see the very biggest of sides all producing next season. I think what Liverpool need more than anyone, Dan, I don't know if the lads agree, but I think especially at Anfield, they need the emotion. I think the players feed off that. They feed off the energy. They feed off the fans. And it's no surprise, really, when you strip it all back and you think, well, who's the best side, probably in European football, that doesn't need any fans, that just play to their tempo, to their style? It's Man City.
Yeah. One striker to another. Here we go. After Kane, who is the next best striker in the Premier League? Would you take Bamford or Calvert-Lewin?
I like Bamford. Is a kind of old-fashioned kind of striker, and you're not sure what you get from him. I think I'll go for Bamford because I grew up when I was 7 or 8 to be a Leeds fan, so I would go for him.
Don?
Torn, because I'm torn on two different sort of styles. I'm torn on Dominic Calvert-Lewin and maybe someone like Danny Ings, who got linked with Man City today, actually, in the UK press. So Danny Ings is a good finisher.
Stephen?
I'll go with Calvert-Lewin.
If it was this time 6 months ago, at the end of last, we'd all sit here and say Aubameyang, wouldn't we?
Oh, I don't know about that.
No?
No.
I mean...
Go on, Jan. Who would you have then?
I agree with you. I mean, remember at the end of last season, he was excellent for Arsenal. But if you don't know, understand the traffic of London, then you have a trouble that you can't put him on the list. But Aubameyang, at his best, captain of Arsenal, is a good lad.
Then you've got Kun Aguero if he's fit as well.
I mean, you've gone completely off the question.
I don't think I have.
Well, the question is, after Kidd, who's your next best striker in the Premier League, right? Would you take Bamford or Calvert-Lewin?
Right.
So we're trying to give you an answer on Bamford or Calvert-Lewin. And you start throwing in, well, this time last year. What's that got to do with anything?
Because I would suggest...
This time last year?
Isn't it a two-parter? After Kane, who is the best striker in the Premier League? Well, that's my first question.
Son. Tottenham.
What? Sorry.
Well, this time last year, Son was absolutely flying.
He's not a striker, is he?
This time 7 years ago, Luis Suarez was the best striker in the world.
Ah, all right then.
This year, 25 years ago, Alan Shearer was brilliant, Don.
Yeah. He was.
Yeah. Jimmy Greaves at the end of the 60s, magnificent.
Oh, what a striker.
Yeah, particularly this time.
In rush.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Jan Agur Fjordsoff, never.
Was Kenny Dalglish a striker? Well, we can discuss that.
Okay, we'll move on. How can a manager let go of a talent like Odegaard when clearly you can see with his every touch he oozes class? Is it because Zidane was too short-sighted, Jan?
No, it wasn't. He came there when he was 16. He went to Real Madrid at that time because Zidane was his manager at the second team of Real Madrid. But it was also right that he was on loan. He had a fantastic season at Real Sociedad. I think maybe the mistake of Real Madrid was to take him back in the summer. Having said that, that was a perfect time for Martin Odegaard to get into Real Madrid. He didn't succeed. And Martin Odegaard, what he did against West Ham, this is where he is at his best. Taking him up a bit, more aggression in his game, wants the ball seeing forward. So I don't think we should say that about Zinedine Zidane. He got some good midfielders there as well, and he's won a couple of three good trophies over the years as well. So I don't think we would say he's short-sighted.
Trophies are overrated. Don, I know you were at that game, weren't you? Were you at the West Ham game?
Oh, I was. He was absolutely brilliant. Honestly, he was sensational. It was a 45 minutes where Jesse Lingard was running the show, and you think, well, he's got a goal and an assist, he'll definitely be man of the match. And then West Ham came in at half-time, 3-1 up, and they should have been cruising. But the killer goal for West Ham was the Arsenal one just before half-time. Second half, Odegaard was just, I said the word silk, he was just incredible. He's just so silky on the ball, very easy on the eye. He dominated the game in the second half, and he put in a brilliant performance.
Don't you think
I hope, Dan, now that he will get some time at the one club, because he's been in two Dutch clubs, he's been in Real Sociedad. The guy is only 22, so hopefully now he can stay at Arsenal for some years, because I think he could be a perfect player for Arsenal the way Arteta wants to play his game.
What sort of relationship do you have with him, Jan?
With Odegaard?
Because close to Haaland. We know you're texting him every day, bothering him.
I took Martin Odegaard into the national team as not a national coach, but a manager when he was 15. So Martin Odegaard is a great lad, and hopefully he will have a great career.
What were you doing with the Norwegian team, Jan?
I was their manager. 2 years.
Coach or manager?
Now, national coach, and then they have like in Germany, Bierhoff is the manager of the team. Oh. So I did that for 2 years when we took Odegaard in as a 15-year-old.
What does that mean? Yeah, that doesn't sound like a real job.
No, it's not a real job. That's what I say at Manchester United. You don't need a head of sport because we're winning trophies without them.
In the other side of the Champions League draw, Stevie, Chelsea, Porto, Liverpool, Real Madrid, who's going to the final?
Ooh. Well,
oh, the final's already taken place. It's gone.
Yeah, right. I mean, right now, nobody can score on Chelsea.
Right. So you're saying Chelsea?
No.
Right. Good.
I'm going to see Liverpool.
Right. Predictable. Okay. What percentage will Don give Chelsea to win the Champions League?
Oh my God! I mean, this is just a stab in the dark. How can you try and do any sort of man maths there?
Why is the prefix man to maths?
Man, I don't know, but they beat Porto. So let's just say it's a 60-40 against Porto. Liverpool's a 50-50 against Real Madrid, but I fancy Liverpool.
I don't know how this is going to help them.
Then Liverpool beat Chelsea, so zero.
Zero. They've okay, got no yeah. chance whatsoever.
1%. 1%.
So you thought the handball rule was difficult, and then you listened to
John
doing a percentage.
1%. Let's be generous. 1%.
Who are your dark horses for the Euros, Jan?
For the Euros?
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, that is the dark horse. Then I'll have to put in England and Portugal.
Well, England are favourites, so that's not a dark horse, Jan.
England are favourites.
Portugal are defending champions.
England are favourites if you speak that language that you do well, and I do just try to do it. England are not favourites.
They are favourites. The bookies, bookies have England as the favourites to win the European Championship.
How can England Germany, be favourite?
France, they haven't and Belgium. Last, right.
I don't. I'm not. I'm not time, this isn't subjective. This is physically. This is objective. This is okay. Real. This is fact.
Okay, we have some breaking news for you. The bookies are ruining the world. Fantastic. I can't believe it. You asked some three footballers, former footballers in the studio, and we have our opinion, and you say that you have the bookies saying that England are favourite. England are not favourite.
Right.
Last time they won a title, I wasn't even born. So how can they be favourite?
No, I understand that. But the whole premise of a dark horse is an outsider, isn't it? If we look at the bookies...
England is an outsider.
They can't be an outsider if they're the favourites, Jan.
Well, they're not the favourites, are they?
They are! We've just gone through this. They are the favourites.
How can they be favourites ahead of Germany, Belgium and France?
Look, it's not... I haven't made the odds up. This isn't me.
Okay, so the bookies are ruling the world. The bookies are doing... Who is her dark horses and who are favourites?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay. Fantastic, Dan. Well, what's the bookies saying about you meeting a new girl?
I'm glad that froze. That froze at a good time.
But what's the odds on France? Because I'm locking on them.
France are second favourites.
How far down in the bookies do you have to be?
Second favourites after England.
No shade.
Well, how many runners are there at the Euros? How many teams are at the Euros?
Oh, 32 is a 30.
I don't know. 24. So you would say anyone outside the top 10? Would be a dark horse.
With no chance.
Right, no chance. No dark horses.
No.
No. Jan, any dark horses?
England.
Yeah. Stevie, if you were in your prime, I'm suggesting you're not in your prime, Stephen.
I'm suggesting you get the glasses sorted out.
How dare you? What top 16 would you like to play for right now?
Oh.
Oh, Liverpool.
Why?
You can't say Liverpool.
Well, because the
Liverpool
only,
aren't in the top
because
six,
the only reason...
Are they in the top six?
Oh, you're actually right.
No,
not
no.
The
so there we go.
Not.
You can't say Liverpool.
All right, Man City.
All right. Why?
Because of the best.
What if you had to choose between Manchester City and Liverpool?
Liverpool.
Why?
Because it's Liverpool.
Because of your heart. What about your style? Look, go, take your heart out of the question.
I would suggest that the heart would get pumping more playing for Liverpool than City. City's a little bit more cool, calm and controlled, where Liverpool's a lot of emotion and energy.
Right.
And as I said, get
rock and roll.
Rock and roll,
more rock and roll.
Aye.
Will we ever see flair players like Ronaldinho, Jan, in the coming generation of players, given how structured football tactics have become?
Yes, absolutely. You see them, they're coming through. There are young players coming through, Mbappe and all these kind of players. They will come through and we can
You can see by Manchester City now, it's flair. It's flair that it is coming through. Even at Bayern Munich, you can see the players, there's flair. How do you define flair? Robert Lewandowski is flair. Fantastic flair. So yes, they will survive. Don't you worry about that. But can I just say that I think that Stevie underestimated himself there? Because Stevie could have played for Manchester City, and he would be brilliant for Manchester City, the way he played. He was a flexible player. He can play a different position, and his hardness, that won't go out of fashion either. So, Stevie, I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Jan.
Wow.
You're welcome.
What a beautiful
time.
You can come back tomorrow.
There you are.
You can come back tomorrow, Jan.
Don, no chance. Final, well, not final, we've still got two left of this. Don, best way to improve international breaks?
Woof.
Oh. AstraZeneca.
Get shot of the friendlies for a start.
Right, well, they have. Now you've got the, what's it called again? Nations League.
Yeah, exactly.
Nations League.
Exactly, you don't even know what it's called. And what's the point in that, by the way?
Oh, it's good, the Nations League, Don. We like it.
Is it?
Yes. It's better than friendlies.
Give me three good reasons why it's good.
Because you've got top-tier teams facing each other at a regular interval.
Yeah. Exactly, I agree.
But then you can't give youth a chance because these games sort of matters. Where if you had friendlies, you can play younger players to blood them.
Give you
them
just say get rid of
you don't get rid of them.
No. I'm arguing with myself. But the contradiction is, as you're saying, they're important games. If they're important games, managers, international managers, are going to be playing their best sides. Doesn't give the youth any chance. Well, scrap the lot. That's the answer.
Scrap them all international.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I've never figured that.
What's that?
Well, Don's argument about, well, that means he won't give young players a chance. I don't agree with that at all. Because when a young player plays well in an international, everybody says, well, it was only a friendly.
Right, yes.
So there's your argument.
Is he going to get the game?
Oh,
is he going to get the game, Stevie? Is that young player going to get the game in an important game?
Oh, air quotes.
Why it's not? So important. It's so important to have these national games. Let's not only let these big clubs have their tournaments. And then when they have an international break, where do they go? They go somewhere in the other part of the world playing some useless friendly at the club level. It's much better that we have a national game, proudness, the flag and the anthem. That's what it's all about. Let's go for it. More national games.
I'm sorry, Jan. I used to enjoy going on those little jaunts and playing our little friendly.
Yeah, but
friendly.
You love to play for Scotland as well,
anything,
Stevie.
And
Stevie.
Have Stevie, a couple of nights Stevie, out love, and relax.
But Stevie, you love to play for Scotland as well.
I did. I wouldn't argue with that.
Mm, yeah. Exactly. I've read your book, Stephen. It might suggest different. Don, what percentage chance do you give to Scotland to qualify for Qatar 2022? Who's in your group?
Denmark, I'm just going to say.
Israel.
Can you tell me who's in the group?
Denmark and Israel are
they your
problem.
Big competitors?
They're a problem.
Right.
And we also have teams like Moldova, which...
Right, they've proved problems in
the past.
I think
Moldova, we've given ourselves headaches against these teams.
Right, so what percentage, Don?
So Denmark's the toughest team in the group, Stevie, yeah?
I think so, yeah. You've got Denmark, Israel and Austria.
How many qualify? One or two?
The top one qualifies, the second one goes into a playoff.
So...
Yeah, playoffs.
Playoffs.
We've got a history of playoffs.
Playoffs.
We've got a history of playoffs. Lost against England. Lost against Holland. Playoffs.
What percentage chance then of qualifying for the World Cup, Don?
70
playoffs. Well, if it's playoffs, 50-50.
Right, that's it. That's just how it works. That's how playoffs work. It's 50-50. That's it. We're done. That's enough of this. We'll be back tomorrow. Are you on us or with us tomorrow, Stephen?
No.
Jan, you're with us, aren't you? Don, what are you going to do for the rest of your week now?
I might tune in. I'm going to tune in and watch.
Oh, liar. Get a life.
I'll tune in and watch.
What, midnight?
Yes, let's see.
You going to sleep?
It's back tomorrow. For more, we are with you every single day through the international break and forever.